Dating, courtship, and marriage. Pastor Matthew Tice, that's me. And following Jesus, that's what we're doing at the Family Conference, Family Life Conference, that's right now. Dating, courtship, and marriage. Dating can be one of the greatest or one of the worst experiences in your life. Doing it God's way, according to God's Word, can only bring joy and delight. Remember, dating is a gift from God. But Satan has his way of distorting, counterfeiting, and destroying what can be good and enjoyable. By following God's word, you can look back on your dating experience with gratitude and not regret. So before we go any further, we have to describe what dating is. We have to get a definition of what dating is. Because if we don't get a definition, then we're going to be lost. Because lots of different people, they like to apply different things. Some people want to call it courting. Go courting. You know, some folks like to go courting. If you want to go courting, go court. If you want to go steady. If you want to go steady, go steady. If you want to, you want to go out. Because terms change, don't they? If you want to exchange pins, you know, if you want to get a goat and bring it to her dad, you know, do whatever you want to do. Call it whatever you want to call it. But the point is that dating is a relationship for our definition. By the way, let me give you a great book. This book is a great book for anybody who is looking at planning their life. I taught this book one time. Bible college graduate told me this book changed his life, or the lessons and principles from this book. Cost $15 today only at our bookstore. But you can get this book for $15. It's a great book written by a friend of mine. It's about 250 pages. It's an easy read. You see there's a lot of white space in between the black space. And I like those kind of books. So I would suggest this book. I think we only have a couple of them. So you might have to pre-order it. But great, great book. I hope you'll pick up a copy of Discovering Your Destiny by Carrie Schmidt. Today, we will take some time and we have to define terms so that we're all on the same wavelength. We're going to define some terms. First of all, we are going to define dating. So dating is a relationship with the opposite sex involving some verbal commitment. Okay? So that will be when we say the word dating, that is a relationship with the opposite sex involving some verbal commitment. A date, then, would be a guy and a girl doing something together, okay? Participating in something together. So they might go and get ice cream together. They might go and go to church together. They might eat dinner together. They might watch a movie together. Whatever they want it to be, a date or a dating, those will be how we define these terms. It's a funny thing, isn't it? The way men and women come together at an early age when they're 4, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. Boys look at girls and they say, "Ugh, they're girls. They're nasty girls." And girls look at boys and say, "Ah, he's got cooties." Not cuties. Cooties! And they hate each other. And they throw rocks at each other. And they sit on opposite sides of the room from each other. But something happens around the age of 12, 13. The girl that was so disgusting starts looking,
She's kind of cute.
And she looks at him and says,
I like him.
And so people do funny things with each other. Isn't it funny, the whole maturation process? They start to get together and like,
Dear Bertha, I'm talking like this because my voice hasn't changed yet. Dear Bertha, I like you. Do you like me? And then there's boxes. Please check one. Yes, no. Maybe.
And old Sylvester sends his note over to Bertha. Bertha reads it.
Yes, I can't say that. No, but I kind of do like him. Maybe.
and then they start to fall in love, and it's just what happens. It's funny how things progress, and it is interesting how people who hate each other can come together and they can get involved in the dating relationship. We have to understand then what the purpose of marriage is, or the purpose of dating is. I like to use the illustration of an airplane. A week from tomorrow, my wife and I are going to get on an airplane, and we're going to fly to Florida for 2 days for a conference I'm supposed to be at. When we fly there, there's a purpose with an airplane. Our purpose is to land at the Pensacola Airport. That's where we want to land. In fact, we're going to stop over in Atlanta at the Hartsfield Airport there, and then we're going to catch a connector, and we're going to fly down to Pensacola. We'll be there for 2 days, and we'll do the same trip in reverse coming back on Tuesday evening. There's a purpose when you get in an airplane. The purpose of getting in an airplane is to land. That's what you do. When you get in an airplane, you get in that airplane saying, you know what, I just want to stay up here forever. Not if you're in coach, you don't. You don't want to stay up there forever. You don't just get up, take up. We've reached our altitude of 35,000 feet, and we're just going to hang out here for a while. You don't do that. The purpose of getting an airplane is to land. And there are two airports that a dating relationship will always land in. It has a purpose. When you get involved with a dating relationship, remember, a dating relationship defined as a committed relationship with at least some verbal commitment between a guy and a girl. So there's some verbal commitment. The reason you take off is either to land in the airport of marriage or premarital sex. That's where it will land. That's where they are designed to land. An airplane is designed to take off and land somewhere, and it will either land in the airport of marriage or premarital sex, fornication. That's just where every dating relationship is intended. That's where it's intended to go. That's where they're supposed to go. They're not supposed to just go up and cruise at 35,000 feet for a while. They're supposed to go someplace and land. The other option is that the airplane crashes and burns, ends up in the Hudson. And though that's heroic, it's not the intended purpose. Airplanes don't float so well. And so the purpose, and so when we start looking at what is dating, what is the purposes of dating? Well, the purpose of dating is to get married. And the purpose of dating is to get in bed with each other. And anyone who starts out on a dating relationship with the purpose of saying, you know what, I just hope this crashes and burns, is not somebody you want to be involved in a dating relationship with. That's not wise. I hope someday this crashes and burns. That'll be fun. So marriage. This is the intended destination of a dating relationship. This is the desirable destination of a dating relationship. Once a relationship is entered into, it has an expected goal. The other airport that will land in is fornication. This is the alternative to marriage. This destination brings grave consequences. Letter C. The dating relationship could crash and burn. Here's just a word of warning. Do not ever enter a dating relationship where this is the intended goal. That just makes sense, doesn't it? You know, so, hey, today's flight to Las Vegas to Atlanta. We are planning on crashing in the middle of Kansas. Excuse me, ding. Ding. Could I get off now? No one wants to get, just a word of advice, crash and burn. Well then, it's the purpose of dating being defined. Now this is one of the key elements. This point, letter number D, this is the, often those who sin physically find their relationship ending here with only regret to show. Okay? When is the right time to start dating? Do you know it's all mixed up now? Whereas before, you know, in Bible times, in the book of Ruth, Boaz was about 40 years old and he was ready to get married. 40. Isaac. Abraham and Sarah, their son Isaac, He turned 40 years old and dad said, hey, I think you need to get married. It was time for him to start dating. He was 40. We've taken the Bible standard in our home, so our girls, when they turn 40, they're allowed to start dating. That's just, we want to be fundamental. You know, that's a, we love God, and this, it was good enough for Isaac, it's good enough for you, Ashlyn. Okay? Just joking, but when is the right time to start dating? There are those, there are young people today who at the ages of 8 and 9 are getting boyfriend and girlfriends. And it's not just the little, haha, that's my boyfriend, that's my girlfriend. I mean, they're serious, they're committed. They're becoming physically intimate at 8, 9, 10 years old. 12 years old. Did you see the kid in the UK? 13-year-old boy who's now a dad? Kid looks like he's 7. I mean, it's amazing. He has a 15-year-old girlfriend. And they just gave birth to a baby. You see the pictures of this little kid holding his daughter. He's 13 years old. Why? It's not something that's shocking. That stuff goes on all the time. Well, when should a guy and a girl start dating? Now, to answer that question, you have to know the purpose of dating. What's the purpose that we're trying to accomplish? Where are we trying to land with this dating relationship? We're either going to land in marriage or in a bedroom. Okay? So with the purposes being clear, we need to understand when is the right time to date. When the right time to date is when the purpose of, with the purpose of dating being marriage, a person should not begin dating until they are ready for marriage. That makes sense, doesn't it? Well, we kind of like each other. You're 14. Are you ready to get married? Maybe your kid is. Maybe you are. I don't know many 14-year-olds who are ready to get married, so I tell folks who are 14, don't date. I don't know a lot of 16-year-olds who are ready to have a verbal commitment of a relationship where there is exclusivity. Why? Because I don't know many 16-year-olds who are ready to get married. Maybe you do. I don't. And so when I see someone getting involved in a dating relationship and they're 16 or 17 years old, I think, are you ready to get married? Are you ready to get married? By the way, an airplane only has so much fuel. An airplane just can't go around and go around and go around and go around and go around. It's going to run out of fuel. And it's either going to crash and burn or it's going to make an emergency pit stop. Okay? So if someone's not ready to be married, I don't believe God ever intended for us to be in this dating committed relationship for 3, 4, 5 years. That's ridiculous. You hear about people who've been engaged for 5 years. Those people haven't been living good, moral, pure Christian lives. They probably already landed in the airport. They're probably parking there regularly. Okay? And it's not the airport that we want them in. With the purpose of dating being marriage, a person should not begin dating until they are ready for marriage. Failure to understand this will lead to sin and a broken heart. Failure to understand this. So as a young person looking at a dating relationship, when should I start dating? When you're ready to get married. Okay, well, I'm not ready to get married. Then don't get involved in a verbally committed relationship to where it's boyfriend and girlfriend. We're going out. We're going steady. Well, we're courting. Well, don't be courting at 16. Don't be courting at 18. Until you are ready to get married, that's when you start the dating relationship. And you use whatever term you want to. A person is not ready for dating until their parents give their blessing. A person is not ready for dating until their parents give their blessing. So a guy or a girl might be 21. A guy or a girl might be 21 years old. And say, well, I am physically ready. I am emotionally ready to be married. But you're not spiritually ready to be married until mom and dad say, go ahead. You're not. So a person is not ready to start a dating relationship. And too many times, guys and girls, they use back doors and they just fall in love. And it's just Romeo and Juliet. Romeo, Romeo. Wherefore art thou? No, you're someplace you're not supposed to be. A person is not ready for dating until their parents give their blessing. These are Bible principles. Then what are, with those steps being clear and understood, okay, To date, there's a purpose in my dating. I'm not ready to date until I get married. Until I'm ready to get married. I can't date until my parents say I can date. Okay? With those things being clear, now you have to understand that. Now, what are the seven steps to perfect dating? How do I have a good dating relationship? This is not original with me, by the way. This was taken from notes that I learned in college, but it was a real help to me. Step number one, the seven steps to perfect dating, it is better to wait and know it than to date and blow it. Kind of has a nice ring to it, huh? It's better to wait and know it than to date and blow it. Dating too soon is one of the dangers with dating. Being ready physically does not mean you are ready mentally or spiritually. In reality, a guy or a girl is physically ready to get married at a young age in adolescence. Okay? They are physically ready. They have everything they need to have a physical, healthy relationship. Doesn't mean they're emotionally or spiritually ready. Okay? So, dating too soon is one of the dangers with dating. Being ready physically does not mean you are ready mentally or spiritually. Be choosy. Be choosy. Just because someone likes you doesn't mean it's God's will for your life. Well, if I don't date them, I'll never get married. And too many people have found themselves at the wrong end of a relationship with nothing but sorrow and regret. Be choosy. This is the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with. This is the person that every morning you're going to wake up and see. You better be choosy. Make sure you're getting the best you can. Make sure you're not just settling. Well, he gave me roses. So he went to Albertsons and spent $10. Doesn't mean that he's the one for you. Well, he bought me a soda pop. That doesn't mean he's the one for you. There's nothing wrong with being choosy. And parents should teach their kids, be choosy. Be choosy. There's nothing wrong with that. Make sure you have parental consent and a set of standards. Beware of this. Beware of people who are shrewd. Beware of people who are shrewd. They're sneaky and they're gossips. Beware of people who are sad. Oh, yeah. It's amazing how a dad can see a guy playing a girl. You can see, Anthony, you can see that. You can see that, Bill. You can see how guys will kind of do these things to try to win a girl's affection. They're kind of sneaky, or maybe they're just sad. Oh, I just missed you so much today. I just missed you. They play the little sad card. I've seen that before. I've seen people do it on my sisters and my sisters-in-law. I've seen Heather, and I said, Heather, I just want you to know this is something guys do.
Really?
Yes. Heather, let me tell you something. Don't do this. I'm just telling you, this is what's going to happen. Why? Because guys play games. Girls play the same games, too. Oh, I love you so much. Why are you talking to everybody else? Why aren't you hanging out with me? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, honey. Okay, let's do something fun then. Okay. And people play the same sad game. Okay? And it's amazing. Guys get blinded to the tactics of girls, don't they? They're like, oh, this poor girl. And a woman will say, that little snake, she's nothing but a tramp. Why? Because guys and girls can see through the games. Why? Because they play the games. Be careful of somebody who's selfish, like Judas, just thinking about himself, or someone who's self-righteous, someone who just plays super spirituality. I just love God. I just love everything about the Bible. I was reading in Leviticus today. Leviticus, it's a fascinating book. Be careful of people who's self-righteous and constantly puffing up their own spirituality. Be careful of people that will down others and show their spirituality. That somebody is not spiritual. You know, the Bible says about Moses that Moses was the most meek man to ever walk this earth. He was incredibly a meek person. Why? He wasn't somebody who thought, I can do this. No, he was meek. And when we are looking for a mate, beware of somebody who's shrewd. They're constantly sneaking around. Hey, you know what? Don't do this. No, don't kiss me. I'll kiss you. And then if your parents say, have you ever kissed him? You can say no. Because I kissed you. Okay. Be careful of that. Be careful of somebody who is shrewd. Constantly sneaking around the rules. Looks so good, but he's just a shrewd jerk. Sad, selfish, self-righteous. Make sure you have parental consent and a set of standards. Step number two. It's better to wait and know it than to date and blow it. Step number one, better to wait and know it than to date and blow it. All right, good. Don't blow it. Step number two, do not look for the right one. Be the right one, and you will get the right one. You ever seen somebody change what they are so that they could be accepted by someone? You ever seen that? They might change the way they dress. Now, I'm not talking about like taking a bath and combing your hair. I'm not talking about that. Those are good things. Yeah. Hey, my son's taking a bath. Yeah. Yay! Okay, that's good. All right, but you ever seen somebody who will just change their demeanor and change their attitude?
What's up?
Why? So that they can be accepted or so that they can be cool. Be careful. Don't look for the right one. Be the right one. Don't constantly be looking for, oh, I got to find this one, and I got to find this one. Oh, where he is. Now, there is man's responsibility in this. God's not going to give a man a wife like he gave Eve a wife. He gave Eve a wife, said, go to sleep, wake up, there she was, ready for him. Okay? God's not going to do that. Why? You're not going to fall asleep. And did I say something wrong? Okay, good. You're paying attention. So God's not going to give a man a wife like he gave Adam a wife.
Hello, darling. Let's get married.
It's not going to be that way. The Bible does say, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor with the Lord. But the point here is this. Don't be, oh, well, I'll never get married. I'm never going to get married. I'm never going to get married. No one will ever take me. I'll never get married. That's not the idea. You'll get married, but don't make that the priority of your life. Don't look for the right one. Be the right one. You just determined to be what you're supposed to be. Psalm 84:11 says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly.
We look, well, I can't just live for God. If I live for God, it's going to be crazy, man. He'll never let me do anything, man. I can't.
No, the Bible says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You just do what's right, and God will give you the good things that you desire. A good relationship is not based upon what you can get, but rather on what you can give. So the question must be asked, what is your spouse going to get in you? Is your spouse going to get, well, I just desire a man who is godly and holy and reads his Bible every day and has a great relationship with God. Oh, you do. Well, are you doing all those things? Are you godly? Are you holy? Do you read your Bible every day? Do you have a good relationship with God? Well, no. Then why in the world would God curse that good man with you?
I never thought of it that way before. It's a good way to think of it.
Because God's not going, here's a good guy doing what's right. And here's this little Twitter-pated girl. Hello! God's not going to give him a jerk. And so you say, well, I want a good guy. Then be a good girl. Guys will say things, well, I just want a girl who's pure, who's kept herself, who's saved herself. But they go out and they do their own little things all the time. Well, you ain't going to get that good girl. Why would God curse that good girl with you? Don't look for the right one. Be the right one, and you'll find the right one. A good relationship is not based upon what you can get, but rather what you can give. Do you have your life? Do you have in your life what you want to see in the one you date? I knew a girl I went to college with. She had a wish list of 75 things she wanted in her spouse. She sat down one day, and she wrote 75 things out. I want this, and I want this, and I want this. Now, she was choosy. It's good to be choosy, all right? But if she didn't have all those 75 things in her life, she had no reason to expect that she was going to get those 75 things in her spouse's life. We always want to change somebody else, but we don't want to look at ourselves. The point is, make sure you have what in your life, what you want to see in your potential mate. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to the one God has for you. It's like a triangle. Someone said this. Let's say God's up here, okay, top of the triangle. Let's say this is the guy, and this is the girl. God's up here. And they say, man, I want to get married. I want to know God's will. But God, most important thing is living for you. And so he starts getting closer to God. And she says, God, I want to know you. And so she starts getting closer to God. And as they get closer to God, what's happening? They're getting closer to each other. That's a great principle. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to the one God has for you. Step number one, it's better to wait and know it than to date and blow it. Step number two, do not, for the right one, be the right one, and you will find the right. Good. Step number three, how you get them is how you must keep them. How you get them is how you must keep them. Too many wives play fast and loose in the dating relationship. And they, by the way, I believe this is one of the reasons why we have so many people shacking up together now. They start living together before they're married. They start shacking up. Why? Because she can, if she puts out and she puts out and if she puts out, she thinks that that's going to gain his security. And many times it does. And it doesn't gain his love and it doesn't gain his admiration. It gains his guilt because he thinks, I've been doing her now for 8 or 9 or 10 months. And I can't just dump her like that. And so they enter into a marriage relationship because she puts out so that she can get him. And now he doesn't love her, but he feels guilted into being with her. How you get them is how you must keep them. Now they get married. And now that they're married, she's got what she wants out of the relationship. She's secure. She has a wedding ring on. He's got a wedding ring on. She's secure. And now he's expecting her, excuse me for being blunt, to put out as much sex as they were getting beforehand. And she's not wanting to put out as much sex because she's got what she wants. And he's not getting what she wants. So after 6 months or a year, he goes out and finds a girl who will put out. Okay? And excuse me for being blunt. I don't mean to be inappropriate. I'm just showing you how you get them is how you must keep them. So if you're getting them through sex, then the way you're going to keep them is sex. If you get them through beauty, she's so fine. Okay? It's great that she's so fine, but you bet, lady, if that's the only thing you're getting that's keeping him, you better be so fine when you're 65. Better be so fine. Better be so fine when you're in your retirement age. Better be so fine. Why? Because how you get them is how you keep them. If you get them by being yourself, that's all you have to do to keep them. I'm glad Brianna doesn't love me for my athletic ability. I am. Now, I do enjoy sports, and I like athletics. I like playing ball. But in the last 6 years, my basketball playing ability has diminished greatly. I mean, why? I used to play basketball every single day. From the time I was 12 to probably about 22, I played basketball every single day. I played basketball in the last 6 years probably 12 times. Why? Because I have other things that are more important than playing basketball in the last 6 years. And does it show? There's more important things in my life than playing basketball. But if I had to win Brianna because I was such a great jock, then I wouldn't be keeping her right now. See, the way you get them, how you get them is how you keep them. And if you got them by being yourself, that's all you have to do to keep them. If they fall in love with who you are, not what you're trying to pretend to be, then you'll keep them. Why? Because they fell in love with who you really are. And the rest of your life doesn't have to be a charade or a game. A physical bond is the shallowest and weakest relationship. A physical bond, that's shallow, that's weak. There's many beautiful people that hook up, get together, and the relationship's gone. Why? Because a physical relationship is the most shallow and the most weak. Look at Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston. Two of the world's most beautiful people nobody more famous than them, and it'd be hard-pressed to find a couple that had a net worth higher than theirs. Okay? They're rich, they're famous, they're beautiful, and yet they're divorced. Why? Because how you get them is how you keep them. If you think of physical bond, well, we've been together now. We've been together. It's a shallow and a weak bond, and it's the weakest relationship. Avoid obvious attention to the flesh. Avoid obvious attention to the flesh. My pastor, who gave me these notes, said, girls, all attention for your beauty should be in your face. That doesn't mean you can't show off the fact that you're a woman, okay, by wearing form-fitting clothes. Guys and girls are different. Guys are built different than girls, and girls are built different than guys. Nothing wrong with allowing those differences to be known. But if all of the attention is down below the neck, then there's going to be a lot of attention to the flesh. Avoid obvious attention to the flesh. Watch about clothing or communication. Watch communication or conversations. Beware getting involved in conversations that are fleshly and carnal in their nature. Talking about, oh, what I'd like to do. The Beach Boys wrote a song that said, wouldn't it be nice if we were older and we wouldn't have to wait so long? Wouldn't it be nice to live together in the kind of world where we belong? And they talk about how they'll spend the nights in each other's arms, and it'll be just wonderful. Well, that's not a good thing for somebody who's 18 and 19 years old to have allowing their minds to think about. It's just not wise. Why? Because they're conversations that are going to lead to desires that are inappropriate or unholy. Closed quarters. Don't be alone. We tell people that are dating, I've said this to many folks, never be in a place where you can't be interrupted. So is there anything wrong with going to dinner at the Macaroni Grill? No. Why? Because you're probably not going to get too physically intimate at the Macaroni Grill. Just to be blunt. Okay? So avoid closed quarters. But if you're out, if you're at her house with her parents gone, downstairs watching a movie, that's kind of a, there's some temptation there. Okay? So avoid, step number three is how you get them is how you must keep them. Step number four. Dating should be a delight and not a duty. The dating relationship should be a delight. It should be something that's fun and exciting and wonderful and not, oh, it's a duty. I know a guy was living with a girl. And she had a kid and he had become the pseudo daddy to this kid. And every time he would talk about her, just like, make fun of her, come on, let's go. And I just thought, this is so abnormal. They're in a dating relationship. They're living together. They're living together. And the dating relationship was not a delight. It was a duty. By the way, with the dating relationship being a delight, it leads into marriage being a delight and not a duty. Dating should be a delight and not a duty. The purpose of dating is spiritual oneness. Someone gave this illustration. When someone is dating, they should be coming connected on a spiritual level. During the engagement period, they become connected on an emotional level. And during the marriage, they are connected on a physical level. Okay? The purpose of dating is spiritual oneness. Illicit physical behavior always brings guilt and shame. When you start to see somebody and they're fighting a lot, a couple, and they start fighting, more often than not, it's because there has been illicit physical behavior. So be careful of illicit physical behavior because it will always bring guilt and shame because it's not done right. It's not done right. You don't need to practice for a year to find out if you're compatible living together. All you're going to do is bring guilt and shame into that marriage and regret. Constant arguing and bickering are signs of immaturity, selfishness, and physical guilt. Step number five, what they are now is what they always will be. I sat with girls in premarital counseling. And people at the premarital counseling is always fun because they say things that you're just like, wow. I'll say something to the effect of like this. If there was one thing you could change about so-and-so, what would it be? Nothing. No, seriously, what would you change about him? Well, he does this. Oh, wow, okay. Is there anything that you would change about her? No, she's perfect. I just love everything. No, seriously, what would you change about her? Well, nothing. I can't change it. But no, what would you change? Well, I think I would probably, you know, if I could just find one small thing, you know, just itty bitty thing, I would, it would probably be this. Oh. So would you like to change those things? Well, yeah. I want you to know those things will never change. You're going to have to learn to live with that. That's something that they're going to do for the rest of their life. Why? Because what they are now is what they always will be. They just will. I had one girl saying to my wife and I as we were counseling them, one girl said, well, I just think that once we get married, all that will change. Who are you kidding, babe? It's not going to happen. Once you get married, things aren't going to change. In fact, the problems will just become exacerbated. They'll just become, oh, the fact that he picks his teeth after he eats. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Is that he picks his teeth? It just kind of irritates me a little bit, but I love him. It's just, you know, just a little annoying when he just picks his teeth after he eats. Yeah. He just does gross things. It's not that big of a deal. That'll be the thing that will be the catalyst for fun. And you're always eating your earwax! I hate it! Okay, what they are now is what they always will be. So if there's something that irritates you now, understand it will only become magnified. Basic temperaments are formed long before adolescence begins. We're working on that too with our kids because you see the patterns and the behaviors and the temperaments that they have now. You got to make sure you curb it before they get to adolescence. The Holy Spirit can change any areas, but any weakness they have by teen years will always be a struggle. Well, he'll change. No, they are at their best during that time. You know what's dumb is when a 45-year-old guy goes out and has an affair. You know why? Or a 30-year-old guy goes out and has an affair. When someone gets married at 25, it's never getting better than that. It's never going to get better physically. Why? Because he's never going to look better than he did at 25. She's never going to look better than she did at 25. And for them to think, well, I just think I've grown and I've matured so much more. No, the same problems you've had are the same problems you always will have. So just stick with the person that God gave you at a young age. Don't get stupid. They are at their best during that time. People are at their best during the dating relationship. They spend an hour before they're going to see each other. They've got curling irons coming out of their hair. They're making sure their outfit. Okay? They're making sure everything looks good at their dating during the dating time. They're making sure everything looks right during the dating time. And once they get married, then they're seeing the spouse sees that whole process. And they don't spend as much time. Why? Because there's security in marriage. They're at their best during that time of dating. You are just seeing the tip of an iceberg. Marriage does not change a person. It magnifies the problem. Temper, he's got a bad temper. He's lazy. He's excessively shy. I wish he would just come out of his shell. I wish he would talk more. I wish he would lead the conversation more. If he's not leading the conversation now, he's not going to lead it when they get married. Marriage is not the great communication barrier that opens up pathways of communication. It is not, it is not, it is not. If he is excessively shy, if they're disorganized, she just can't ever seem to be on time. Wow, that'll change once you get married. Disorganized, they're jealous, possessiveness are all warning signs of things that you might want to avoid in that person. Be choosy, remember. Step number 6, every date is a possible mate. Every date is a possible mate. That means we should only date believers. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So we should act like Christ. There's no such thing as evangelism dating. This is just my blog for all of you who'd like to date me and know Christ. It doesn't work that way. All right. There's no such thing as evangelism dating. HeHarmony.com. You know, it's not about that. It's all about, there's no such thing as evangelism dating. The person you date should be an asset to your spiritual life, or he or she will be a liability to it. It's just the facts. Someone will either be an asset, a help to you walking with the Lord, or they're going to be a liability to you walking with God. One day the person you marry will be the person you have dated.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, huh?
Step number 7. This is huge. This is huge. This is huge. This is huge. This one will save 1,000 problems. Postpone all possibilities if parents are not perfectly pleased. Like that one? A lot of good ones in there. Postpone all possibilities if parents are not perfectly pleased. That's why no one's sitting in the front row on this section. Okay? Children, obey your parents in all things until you get ready to get married. No. Children, obey your parents until you become 21 and know the difference between right and wrong. No. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You don't just marry a person, but a family. Break off any relationship that mother or father do not approve of. And I say this, all 4 parents should be in agreement. I also say this to folks. When we have step-parents and step-situations, man, it's difficult, but you have to get them all on board. But they're such jerks. Do you understand that God will even use a jerk as an authority in your life to show you His will? Break off any relationship that mother or father do not approve of. Girls, let your father be your protection. Guys, let her father be your guide. Do not pray for parents' heart to change about that person, but rather pray that God changes you. God, I just pray that you'll convict my parents about the fact that they won't let me date Johnny. They're not doing right. No, don't change that. Just say, God, help me to be submissive to the will of my parents. I don't like that. Well, then you won't like your marriage. Then how do I break off a relationship? This is good. After we know how to date, we might say, I've been dating wrong. How do I break off a relationship? These are so good. These right here, I wish I could say I thought of these on my own, but I didn't. They are stolen, but I have permission to steal, okay? He told me I could use these whenever I want, okay? How do I break off a relationship? This is, God, parents, if you will use this with your kids when they are 20 and 22 and they've gone through a dating relationship and they're breaking it off, this will be, oh, this is beautiful. This is so good. Do it quickly. It will get more difficult every day. Do it quickly. So we're going to break up. When should I do it? Right now? Why do I got to do it right now? Because tomorrow it'll get even harder. And a week from now, it'll be really hard. Do it right now. That hurts. Do it quickly. It gets more difficult with time. Get to the point. Don't try to slip it in a conversation on the phone. Hey, how's your day today? Oh, really good. Yeah, how's work? Good. Okay, all right. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I was thinking, yeah, that'd be fun. Oh, yeah, I got to go, but one other thing. What's that? You're dumped. Okay, don't do that. don't slip it in at the end of a conversation. All right? Get to the point. I'm calling you because I don't think this relationship is working out anymore. And, you know, you don't have to use... People who are spiritual use phrases like, I just don't have a peace about it. Or they'll say things, or people that aren't as spiritual say, it's not you, it's me. And use whatever you want, but get to the point. It's over. It's over. They deserve that. By the way, they deserve to say it's over and, but maybe if you change, no, it's over. And once it's over, it's over. Get to the point. Well, maybe in like 2 years, no, it's over. That is not fair to do to that person, and it's not fair to do to yourself. It's not fair to leave emotions all just hanging out there. That is wrong. That is wrong to do to a person. And it's wrong to do to yourself. Get to the point. Be positive. This will be the best thing for both of us, and our relationship has been a blessing. Just be positive. There's no reason to say, well, the reason I'm doing it is because you're a big fat head. And you're lazy and you're disorganized. You're always late. And I got to be more choosy and I can do better than you. Bye. Okay, that's not how it needs to be. It's not the way it needs to be. Be positive. This is the best thing for both of us, and it has been a blessing. Okay? Be firm. Don't let that person talk you out of it.
But baby sweet cakes, we were made for each other. Really? I mean, are you really sure? Yeah. No, really sure? I think. Are you really sure? No.
Okay? Be firm. Be firm, be firm, be firm, be firm, be firm. And if this is what God wants, break it off and let it be done. How do you know it's what God wants? Because you can't sleep at night. You can't figure it out. You don't have any peace about this. Your parents have said break up. Oh, that's a good way to know. All right? Break it off and be firm. Don't let them talk you out of it. Be final. Do not make conditions or agreements to get back together. Once you get a job making $40,000 a year, I might date you. Maybe. I don't know. Just work hard. Work for me, baby. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not fair to do to somebody. You can't. Why? Because what they are now is what they always will be. Okay? Be compassionate. They are not going to take rejection well. And don't forget the lesson. Remember the good and bad and learn from it. Okay? There are good things in that. There are bad things in that. Make sure you don't miss out on the lesson. Father, thank you for your word. Help us to apply it to our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.